Great, thank you very much. Actually, as an update, that was in 2010, I was a postdoctoral fellow at Johns Hopkins, and now I'm faculty in the Department of Epidemiology at the State University of New York Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn, New York, which is presently under about 3 feet of water. I want to thank my funders, the American Educational Research Association, the American Institutes for Research, and the Maryland Population Research Center, where I was employed for the past 2 years before coming to SUNY Downstate. So community colleges are really expanding. The higher education has expanded enormously, and a lot of disadvantaged students who in the past would not have been able to access higher education due to poor grades or disadvantaged backgrounds, financial constraints, are now able to access higher education. And they've primarily done this by beginning in community colleges. Currently, about a third of traditionally aged undergraduates are community college students. And community college students come from populations that are often targeted by public health interventions. So this is a population that we should all care about. But unfortunately, public health studies don't always recognize community college ties. So for example, it's very common practice, I suppose this was before community colleges were very prominent, to group college dropouts with community college graduates. So you might have a very skilled two-year associate's degree registered nurse who is a surgical nurse and has high, you know, career prospects with somebody who, the cousin who's 30 years old and still hasn't graduated college or gotten any job skills, right? But community college graduates can really get very good jobs and enter the middle class if they weren't already there. So if you recall, at the beginning of this year, there was a lot of talk about why Apple didn't locate its jobs and its factories in the United States. And it turned out that it wasn't that China has lower wage costs, which it does, but it's also that it has more skilled workers of these mid-skilled jobs that are high in demand and are above a high school diploma but below a bachelor's degree. In China, they could staff their entire factory in a very short amount of time, and it would take a year, they said, to find that many mid-skilled job people in the United States. So community colleges are really important, and the president has said multiple times that this is the era in which everybody needs some post-secondary education. Unfortunately, community college graduation rates are very low. I have a lot of statistics up here, but I'll just give you a few key ones, which is that community colleges are also known as two-year colleges because the degrees are supposed to be attainable in just 2 years. But unfortunately, after 3 years, only 11% of all community college students earn any credential at all, even a certificate, and half leave. And we don't know why. And this is not for lack of high aspirations. In fact, on entering community college, 89% say that they want to take their credits and transfer them to get a BA in 4 years. And only 4% of them do that. 4%. So this is something that community college students are being encouraged to believe is possible, and the community colleges don't allow it, and so only 4% are able to do this. And the problem is that we don't really know why people aren't finishing. There's a lot of work about, you know, remedial classes and people getting stuck in them, but the data, there isn't a lot of data that's nationally representative. The Department of Education collects nationally representative data that's very high quality, but due to congressional constraints, they're not allowed to ask about risk behaviors. So somebody could drop out because they had an unplanned pregnancy or a cocaine habit or who knows, right? But we don't know what they are. The only question that asks them why they left community college is, why did you leave community college? Personal reasons, family reasons, financial reasons, or other. So that's all you can get out of the federal nationally representative data because that's the most they're allowed to ask. And the most common reason is personal reasons. This is cited twice as often as the number who cite family or financial factors. But that's all we know. Public health data can really fill in the gaps here. So one of the very basic models for graduation is that from college is Tinto's model, invented by Vince Tinto. And he says that academic integration and social integration predict graduation from four-year college. And so I use this sort of as the basis to find some factors to test to see what predicts community college graduation. The data I'm using is the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health. This is a nationally representative study of students who began in grades 7 to 12 in 1995, and that's when I get my pre-college factors from. And then I look at whether they're enrolled in community college or not. Now, they could have been enrolled in community college before 2001 and graduated already, and I wouldn't see it. And they could have been enrolled in community college for any number of years in 2001, because they're ages 18 to 24 by this point. But I get a snapshot in time that at some point they're community college students. Then I look at their educational attainment in 2008. That's 7 years after the community college enrollment when they're ages 25 to 31. And then I get their certificate, whether they've earned a certificate, an associate's degree, or a bachelor's degree or above. So my sample is out of the 20,000 or so Ad Health people, I have about 1,700-1,800 community college students who have high school diplomas, not a GED because those have worse outcomes, but a high school diploma and no further secondary degree. And I look at what predicts whether they graduate. So I have 145 potential predictors that were measured concurrent with community college enrollment in 2001. And then I can control for variables that were measured even before they came to college, back when they were ages 12 to 18. So I have demographics, I have socioeconomic status, including the parents' report both of household income and whether the parent has enough money to pay the bills. I have educational factors, a lot of different ones. I have the high school grade average, I have the standardized test scores, and their intentions of college attendance, which is very predictive of how people do later on. And then I also have educational factors that were measured in 2001, like how old they were when they graduated high school, whether they delayed time before matriculating in college, and whether they attended college full time. And then I measure their community college enrollment in 2001, and then I look at their educational attainment 7 years later. So I start out for analysis. I start out with nonparametric tests for bivariate analysis, and then I go on to doing multivariate analysis using a Poisson method, a Poisson model, as suggested by Louise McNutt and Peter Cummings, because it's unbiased and easy to interpret. And then for specific factors, and it's a continual project, because obviously with 145 factors, there's a lot of work to do, I do match sampling. And the reason for match sampling is this is a method to minimize confounding. Voters, for example, I found people who voted in the 2000 presidential election are more likely to graduate, but those people have factors that make them more likely to graduate even if they didn't vote. So I want to identify a comparison group of non-voters that are similar to the voters on all the important pre-treatment factors. So, for example, similar levels of household income. And I want to do this so that there's no observable differences between the voters and the non-voters other than voting. So then at least I can isolate that it's the voting and whatever voting symbolizes that's causing the effect, or that's associated with the effect of college graduation, rather than these background factors like higher background SES. And I have, with 145 factors, I have a huge potential for a multiple comparison problem, right? Comparing 150 factors, by chance, 7 of them will be significant, even if none of them are significant, actually. But I mitigate this by requiring significance across multiple education levels. So I require something to be associated with getting a certificate, an associate's degree, and a bachelor's degree. So this is not by chance that I'm finding these factors, because it's not by chance that you're going to find a significant across 3 levels of education. So here's the educational attainment 7 years later. You can see the blue line is the 2-year college students. I gave 4-year college students just so you'd see what the comparison was. So after 7 years, 40% of them don't have any post-secondary degree, and the remaining 60 are spread across getting a certificate, an associate, a bachelor's, and about 5% of them have above a bachelor's, including a few who have PhDs. And the results of testing the 145 factors to see what predicts educational attainment is I find 9 protective factors and 12 risk factors. The 9 factors that predict greater chances of a certificate, associate's, and a bachelor's degree, this is in 3 separate sets of regressions, is civic engagement. That is, did they vote in the 2000 presidential election? Do they affiliate with any political party? And do they trust federal and state government? Now, I really like that I have four separate factors that are all related to civic engagement, because that also shows that it's probably not multiple comparisons that's causing these associations for three educational levels and four factors all of the same category, but there's some construct here that predicts graduation. Then the other construct here is resources. That do they have a savings account? Do they have email? This was measured in 2000, so not everybody had email. Whether they'd visited a doctor in the past year, and whether they had health insurance for the past year. And then there was one that was sort of an odd one, which is living in a dorm, which is straight up the Tinto model's idea that social integration predicts success in college, but not very many community colleges have dorms, and only about 1.3% of these people lived in a dorm. But it completely makes sense that those who lived in a dorm were more likely to graduate. So we have some risk factors, and these come into different categories, that we have stigmatized groups, so people who had a lesbian, gay, or bisexual orientation, who were obese, and who thought of themselves as overweight, they were more likely to not graduate. People who had a father in prison who'd ever been kicked out of their home if they lived with a grandparent, possibly because they were not themselves or their parents were not stable enough to live by themselves. Deviants. Taking cocaine did not predict not graduating. Taking most other drugs didn't predict not graduating, but methamphetamines predicted not graduating. And alcohol treatment, having had such a severe alcohol problem in the past that they had to have treatment for it. And then we have some health issues, that being limited and not being able to do vigorous activities or having any activity limits predicted. And then we have these very interesting marriage attitudes. So would they drop out of college for marriage? Would they go part-time for marriage? Those both predicted not finishing. So here we have a bunch of constructs that predict not finishing community college. So here I'll show you the magnitudes of some of these things. This is just one outcome. The outcome is getting no post-secondary degree at all, so this is kind of the converse of what I'm looking at. So you see that methamphetamine, so that's the first and third, so this is the estimated incidence rate ratio. And you see that the methamphetamines is the largest factor, and along with having been treated for alcohol abuse. Most of the other substance abuse factors are not very significant, that they're marginal but not statistically significant. And then we have one at the very bottom, one protective factor, which is that when they drink, they usually drink 1 to 3 alcoholic drinks at a time. That is, they're not usually binge drinking, but they're not usually teetotaling either, which may be an indication of some kind of social integration. And in fact, among four-year college students, moderate alcohol use is a protective factor, and it predicts graduating four-year college. So here's the magnitudes for another group, which is sexual minorities. The blue is the having a gay, lesbian, bisexual identity. That's the 4% of the population who identifies that way. And then we have Kinsey's 10% of, and it is 10% in this case, of who have a same-sex attraction. And here you can see that the people who get, on the left we have getting any degree at all, getting a certificate, associates, or bachelor's. The second column is those who get an associate's or bachelor's, and then the third column is those who get a bachelor's and above. And you can see that as with increasing degrees, the threshold gets higher, that it gets a lot harder to get the higher degrees as they go up. And then I have some health factors, and I don't have time to go through them all, but it's the same pattern that as with a higher degree, it's harder to get it, and so each factor is a little bit more, influences a little bit more for a bachelor's than it does for an associate's degree. But I want to take you through just one set of factors, the civic participation factors, from the start to finish. So this is the raw data. This shows the percentage who have each degree, the percentage who, the red, for instance, is those who voted in 2000. So the percentage of high school graduates, certificate graduates, associate's graduates, and bachelor's graduates who have that factor. And that's significant, that just raw data. It's survey adjusted, but otherwise raw. That's significant as a test for trends. And then with multivariate regression, each one of these points is the coefficient, is computed from a coefficient of a multivariate regression. And again, each one of these is significant. Most of them are significant. Voting, political party affiliation, and trusting the federal government are all significant. But maybe, as I was saying earlier, that maybe it's the background factors that are causing them to graduate. Maybe it's not the factors themselves. So I did some match sampling where, so take the construct of trusting the federal government. Who's more likely to trust the federal government? Well, we have African Americans are less likely to. Oh, so we have the red dots here show the Cohen's effect size, the standardized difference measure for each factor, how different it is between those who trust the federal government versus not. So, for instance, you can ignore that first one. That's propensity score is an aggregate variable, but the second one is the percentage of African Americans who trust the federal government versus not, and it has a small of Cohen's effect size, still significant. But after we match, we get the significant difference shown in blue, and that's everything to the left of that solid line at point one is not significant. And we see that we go from something that's significant to not significant. And we do this for all the variables. People who have problems attaching in school and having peer ties, they also are less likely to trust the federal government. But after I do match sampling, I have them all balanced out. So now we have a group of people who trust the federal government and people who don't trust the federal government who look similar to each other. So now when I do the regression in this new group, slightly smaller group, I can see that it's actually not these background factors that are causing the difference, but it's more the trust of the federal government. So I do the same thing for the other factors too, and this is the result of the multivariate regression after I matched. And you see that they're still relatively significant, although some of them are less significant than others. The one that's the most significant is trusting the federal government. So we see here that even after some very strong controls for background factors, the people who trust the federal government are more likely to finish community college. And so what are the strengths and limitations? The strengths are that this is a nationally representative sample of young adults who are enrolled in community college. So the findings are relevant to the entire country. Most community college research is regional, so we don't know whether it applies, but this is nationally representative. Second of all is that these people were matched for the strongest controls. They were matched on comprehensive information about their pre-college background to minimize confounding. And these factors actually predict, so these factors we know actually predict community college graduation. These are not just all indicators that they're higher SES or advantaged in some way. They're actually predict community college graduation. We can't make a causal inference because you can never do, as Paul Holland said, there's no causation without manipulation. You couldn't do a randomized experiment that assigned people to trust the government or to vote for that matter. So you can't make a causal inference, but at least it's unconfounded. We know that it's really the trusting the government, not other things. And then finally, as a limitation, AdHealth doesn't collect detailed educational enrollment information, so we couldn't construct the trajectory. So in conclusion, community college students are relatively disadvantaged, but those who have basic social and economic capital have higher educational attainment. So rather than being causal, these factors probably combine to form some sort of dignified adult identity. In other words, this is kind of TITO social integration in the wider society, that people who are well integrated in American society are more likely to graduate community college. Community colleges need to help students succeed despite life disruptions and certainly not hinder their progress. So there are new community colleges being developed that give students predictable schedules and guaranteed admission to their classes so that they're not going to be excluded from a class they need to graduate because of all arbitrary resource constraints. And then final conclusion is that public health surveys need to recognize community college. Grouping community college graduates with college dropouts fails to recognize their accomplishments, and it also loses information. So I think that that's something that we can all take home from us, that every survey that we write should have some acknowledgement of were people in four-year college or two-year college, and did they get a degree from a two-year college, because that can actually really predict somebody's success. Thank you.
I forgot to say that we're going to take questions after each talk, so we have time for one or two. Questions? Well, I had one, and maybe I missed this, but what is the effect of age and you weren't looking at older. These were all in that 25 to 27, okay. Has anybody looked at the effect of age on graduation? Because community colleges do attract older students as well. And what about sex? Was that?
Well, I actually did. I actually did. In a separate study, I looked at age, and I actually found that older. This is actually a 4-year college students. I found that the older 4-year college students who may have come from starting out being in community college, they actually had a profile that's much more similar to community college students. So, for instance, they had higher. I was comparing their STI rates actually, and they had similar levels of STIs. If they were older 4-year college students, and it was a lot more similar to the community college students than it was to the younger 4-year college students. But so I assume that, I mean, as people get older, their lives get more complicated, but on the other hand, they also have more fully developed brains, and so they're more able to finish.
And what about sex? Were males more likely to finish? Or
in general, females are more educationally accomplished.
Okay, thank you.